encourage you to develop a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving during this time. In Romans chapter 1, we're going to be in Psalm 118 today. We're going to continue looking at that, excuse me, as some of the things that we can choose to be thankful for. But I wanted to share this with you out of Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. Says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." So I wanted to point out to you from this passage of Scripture that failing to maintain a grateful, thankful attitude towards God, even though you know him, even though you understand his power and his holiness, that you know his word, if you and I do not maintain an attitude of thankfulness, it will have detrimental effects to us. It will change the way that we think. Instead of thinking thoughts of faith, we will think futile thoughts, things that are not going to accomplish anything. And it will darken our heart. God is looking for a grateful and thankful people. And so that is why we are going through Psalm 118 during these few broadcasts here, to develop this attitude of thanksgiving. Now, I do want to remind you that we do not have service Wednesday night as our families are getting ready for Thanksgiving. Our next service will be Sunday morning. We would love to have you come out and be a part of that. God has been doing wonderful things at Merit Assembly of God this year. We have gotten younger. We have become more numerous, and we've had new ministries that we've launched and revamped this year. And so we are very excited about everything that God is doing. Several years ago, we started developing a kids ministry. Now we've developed a youth ministry that will soon give way also to developing a young adult ministry. And so we are extremely thankful for what God is doing. So let me take you back to Psalm 118. Yesterday we had concluded that the psalmist had called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered him. The Lord is on his side. I will not fear. You and I do not have to be afraid. So let's look at three more things today that we should be thankful for that the psalmist mentions here in the next few verses. We've got three more that we will talk about in the days ahead. But I don't know about you, but I want to maintain my thankfulness towards God, because I don't want my mental faculties, I don't want my thinking futile. Later on in Romans chapter 1, it describes a few more activities that they had chosen in, and said that God had given them over to a reprobate or a depraved mind. I want my mind functioning on high efficiency. I want it having the right understanding of who God is, the right understanding of who I am, the right understanding of eternity, and the right understanding of how I get from a place of a messed up life to a place of a holy life. And all of that happens when we maintain the thankfulness that God wants us to have. So let's look at verse number 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Okay, so we have just come through this political season. There's something that has happened over the past several news cycles. I mentioned it when President Obama was elected. I heard something similar when President-elect Trump was elected, and it disturbs me, and so I want to share that. When President Obama was elected, there were youth groups I saw videos of, and they were chanting that he was the Messiah. And now that President-elect Trump has been elected, I have heard people referring to him as the Savior. And I want you to know that that is not the case in, on either front. They, you know, there's one Messiah, and his name is Jesus, and there's one Savior, and his name is Jesus. Politicians are not going to be able to save us. And so we've been talking about Psalm 91 and who is the covering that you are abiding under. And I encourage you to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, to dwell there. You can trust him. The one thing that people vote with, and there is always some uncertainty, is once elected, will we be able to trust these people to be to accomplish the things that they said on the campaign trail? And I find it interesting that people say, well, there's one way to talk when you're out on the campaign trail to get elected, and then there's the pragmatic side that you have to come to once you are elected. In other words, it's okay to go out there and lie to the voters and stuff like that. I want to encourage you, you and I, we cannot misplace our trust. Our trust is never supposed to be in politicians. Our trust is supposed to be in the name of the Lord. We are supposed to pray for our politicians. It is we should pray that there are godly people who would serve our community in the realm of politics. That would be a markedly improved situation over what we have historically experienced. It used to be the norm. It used to be the norm, and now it is by far and away the exception. So it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. There's an interesting verse that it's in the New Testament. I didn't look up the reference, but it says that Jesus did not entrust himself to any man because he knew what was in the heart of man. One of the things that Christians tend to do, especially seasoned Christians, is we tend to trust everybody because that is the atmosphere that we are accustomed to living in. I've told the story before about a salesman that came. He lied to me. He sold me something. And even though I said, you know what, your numbers don't add up, it really wasn't a huge sale. And if, you know, that little bitty commission that he made was worth all of the lying that he did to get it, well, God bless him. He needed that money worse than I did. But then he came into my store, and because he was so used to, as a salesman, lying to get the sale, he didn't believe anything that I said. I guess he thought that I was going to repay him for his deception with deception on my own. Truth of the matter is, God is the one who was going to bless me, and if that guy conned me out of something, then God was going to make sure that I got taken care of in some other source. So I wasn't being vindictive, but I was like, after dealing with this guy, I spent more time trying to sell him a $59.95 pair of shoes than he did to sell me a program that was soon to be worthless for a few hundred dollars. And I was back in the stock room, and I was like, God, what is the deal here? I'm telling this guy everything about this product that is true. And he said, you don't understand. He is used to a culture of deception, and therefore he doesn't trust anybody because he's so used to living in that culture where there is lying that is going on. I said, well, that makes sense. So Christians, we tend to live in a culture where we tell the truth. And so we expect that other people are going to tell us the truth. And you need to, you know, most of the time we learn this the hard way. And that is this, that you can't always trust everybody that you know with your deepest and most intimate secrets. So that there have been times when we have shared our hearts with people, and to be honest with you, they could not handle the authenticity. They just couldn't handle it. Jesus, he knew what was in people's hearts, and if there was not something trustworthy in his heart, then he wouldn't entrust himself to them. Now, I want you to know that after the resurrection, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, after there is some growth in the church, in the epistle of Jude, it says that God has entrusted to the saints once and for all the message of faith. In other words, there's no backup plan. God fully trusts the church of Jesus Christ to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. It has been entrusted to us to contend for the faith because God has changed our hearts to where we are trustworthy. But you can trust the Lord. There are too many people whose trust is withheld until they understand every detail. And I pray that we get to a place where we can say, God, I want to thank you today that you are trustworthy beyond my understanding. I may not know where my next paycheck is coming from, but I can trust you that you will be Jehovah Jireh. I may not trust how you are going to manifest healing in my body, but I trust that healing is on its way. I may not understand how you are going to bring salvation to my loved one who is bound by drugs or alcohol or some other addictions, but I know that you are Savior and that you shed your blood and you don't want any to perish, so I'm just thankful that I can trust you with my deepest needs. Thank God today that he is a trustworthy God, that he is a God who says what he means what he says, and will fulfill his promises. Now, that fact that he is trustworthy to his promises is a double-edged sword. Many people only understand the promises from the positive perspective. And so I am thankful that if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful that he has given me the gift of eternal life instead of the wages of sin. I'm thankful that he keeps those promises of provision, of healing, of salvation, that he is going to keep his promise of coming again and taking me, that where he is, there we will be with him forever. I'm thankful that he keeps his promises. But he's also made promises about what happens to those who reject him. And I want you to understand that he is trustworthy both with the benefits and with the consequences. So I encourage you today to embrace the trustworthy God. Thank God that he is faithful, that he is true, that he is trustworthy. Let's drop down a little bit down to verse 13 and through 15. It said, "You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous." And here I want you to see that even though we may come under attack, that it might even be a violent attack, I don't really remember seeing such a tremendous number of public displays of violent anarchy as I have in the past several years. It should be deeply concerning to the church. It should be compelling us to pray. And, I don't care if your football team wins the national championship. That is not a reason to go out and have let's burn down our city party. That makes no sense. That's foolishness. And so we don't need violent anarchy, although we may at some times be violently attacked with the purpose, listen to what it says, that you pushed me violently that I might fall. That I might fall. The devil and those who cooperate with the devil are not interested in building you up. They are interested in bringing you down. And the bigger the fall, the more catastrophic the fall, the better the ratings, and therefore they like it. Back when revival hit an Assembly of God church back in the 1990s, it received a great deal of national press. And the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God at that point in time contacted the pastor and the evangelist, and they said, "You've got to remember that when dealing with the media, it is like dealing with a pet snake." Okay, now if you're in the media, I pray that you are the exception to this rule. And he said, and that is, you've got to remember their nature. Their nature is ratings. And they get bigger ratings for catastrophic falls than they do for positive, encouraging, uplifting stories. And so if you have been attacked with the purpose of bringing you down, thank God that even though you may have been injured, God has been your healer. And even though they intended on making you stumble, that in Ephesians it says that we have been able to stand because of the armor of God, and having done all to stand. And God tells us in his word the things that we can do, that if we will do those things, we will never stumble, we will never fall. We need to consistently be growing in our faith. It says, you pushed me violently, but that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. So I want you today to thank God for the things that he has helped you to overcome. The times that the devil meant to take you out financially, he might have tried to take you out maritally, he might have tried to take you out physically, but you can thank God that he is your helper, that he is your helper. He is your strength. Thank God today that I don't have to deal with the issues of life in my own strength, that God is faithful to strengthen me. And it says he is my strength and my song and has become my salvation. Around our household, I have done horrible things to my children because I just have this tendency to make up songs about anything. If I just feel like making up a silly song, long before there were VeggieTales silly songs with Larry, there was silly songs with Bob. I would just start singing and just causing my kids to shake their head, moan and groan and laugh and all of this sort of stuff. And I've seen my grown son at some of the silly songs that I sing. They're clean. They're not dirty. They would just be so absurd that he would just get so tickled that he would begin to belly laugh. He would just completely and totally lose his composure. Well, guess what? They all do it. They all do it. But for a Christian, it's not about silly songs. There should be a song that the Lord has given to us that is coming out of our innermost being on a regular basis. And so I encourage you to let that song come forth. In our houses, if we are the redeemed of the Lord, if we are the righteous of the Lord, then there should be something that we are discussing. It goes on in verse number 15, and it says, the voice of rejoicing and salvation. So we're a couple of days away from Thanksgiving. Why don't you begin to plan now to have a time of dialogue or a time of praise or thanksgiving where we are rejoicing in what God has done. You might have received a new job this year. You might have had a relationship transition for the positive. There's a bunch of different things. God may have given you a new idea, something that is percolating inside of you. You might have been able to lead a person to Jesus or see a person miraculously healed. Things might be looking better for you now than they have. You might have graduated from school or about to graduate from school. You might see progress in your kids. There should be reason for rejoicing. And so set the tone. Set the tone. It's not about whether your football team wins or loses on Thanksgiving. It's not about whether your team won or lost the World Series. It's about none of that. Make sure that your kids and your neighbors know, hey, this house, God is the Lord of this house, and we are going to rejoice. And talk about your salvation. I was not too long ago, a little over a week ago, and I got to hang out with a friend of mine that I haven't seen in 30 years. We had gone to church together. He ended up going to the same Bible college briefly that I went to, and then he transferred to another. But he's been in the ministry for a long time. He happened to be down in Central Florida, and I was able to drive over and see him over in Orlando, and we got to relive the monumental things that God had done in his life. And I've shared about his testimony, and he began to fill me in on some other details, and we were rejoicing in the God who saved us. Don't forget that. Don't forget that the God who saved you out of your mess is capable of saving other people out of their messes. And use that testimony that God has given us as a way of overcoming our shyness. Listen, if you've got a person with an argument, I've heard it said, is never at the mercy of a person with an experience. And so if God has brought you deliverance, share that testimony. Relive it. Don't let your kids forget it. Don't let your grandkids forget it. Make sure that they know it. Let's look at one more down in verse number, where do we want to go? We've been there. I've got my notes here today. Let's look at verse number 18. Verse 17. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. And I've got written down here in my Bible, what are you living for? What are you living for? Because the psalmist here says, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. There used to be a chorus that we sang, and it said, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. You and I, I can look back on times that I could have died. I look back at times my wife could have died. I look at times my son could have died. Both my daughters could have died. My brothers, my sisters. And we are still alive for a reason. It is to declare the works of the Lord. Don't fail to do the job that God has delivered us for. Declare the glories of God that he has done in your life. It says here, the Lord has severely chastened me, but he has not given me over to death. Every person that is listening to this broadcast right now, young or old, male, female, doesn't matter. Every one of us, God wants to bring correction into our life. And there are two different reactions to correction. One is to fight against it and rebel against it and kick against the pricks, as Paul said, or as Jesus said to Paul on the road to Damascus, Paul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Fighting against God's correction is a very difficult road. I don't encourage you to do that at all. Okay? The Lord has chastened me. It says that the Lord disciplines those that he loves. Now, this is corrective. God is into correction, not punishment. There is a time of punishment. There is a time of separation that's coming for those who reject him. But his primary means of dealing with us is for correction's sake. My job as a parent was not to discipline my kids until I felt better. My job was to discipline my kids in a manner which would bring about positive life change in them, that they would live the way that they were supposed to live. And my wife and I are very thankful for what God has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. It might seem at times that you are not going to survive the correction. There have been times in our lives where I said, God, I don't know how in the world I'm ever going to get out of this situation. And then after we were out of the situation, I looked back and I said, God, I have no idea how you got us out of that situation. And the thing to learn from that is this: once you're out, don't get back into that situation. Don't get back into that mess again. Be smarter than a pig. don't return back to the pig pen and start wallowing in the mire all over again. Don't be as dumb as a dog that returns back to its own vomit. When God has delivered you, when he has corrected you, then live the life of thanksgiving and say, God, I want to thank you for your great mercy. We're going to be talking about this tomorrow. Some more, we're going to finish in Psalm 118. We still got some more things that we want to share there with you. But let's just start this day off on the right note, can we? Father, I want to thank you for every good thing that you have done. I don't want to forget about how good a God you are. I want to thank you that we can trust you beyond our understanding. And Lord, even though we've been attacked, Lord, we have survived thanks to you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. My